Amen. I appreciate that, young people. Thank you. That's a great song. Aren't you glad that he's been faithful? Always faithful. There's never been a time when he hasn't been. We praise God for that. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read in verses 5 down to verse number 11. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. You can follow along with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read verses 5. Read verses 5 to 11. He says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth." Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray that you just bless now as we open your word this morning. Thank you for the great singing this morning, the special music. Lord, we thank you just as has been sung this morning. Lord, there's never a time when you're not faithful. And Lord, many times when we may not be able to see your faithfulness, we may not be able to see what's going on around us. Lord, we know that you are faithful. That is who you are. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to live in such a way that we too would be faithful in what you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray that you just work through the message this morning, speak to hearts, Lord. And if there is someone today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, you'd help them to understand that Jesus is the only way. And so, Father, we ask that you just bless in the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, when you look at a person in ministry, right, what is the first thing you notice about a person that is in ministry? Is it how well they speak? You know, is that the thing that catches your attention? Is it how polished they appear? You know, what they wear? You know, all that? Or is it how much influence or recognition that they seem to carry, maybe in the community or something? The church at Corinth was wrestling with this problem, right? This is kind of what this chapter and this passage is dealing with here. And there were, as we've been looking, there were some false teachers that had come into Corinth. And they were teaching a false gospel, but they were very eloquent in what they were saying. They were very impressive. They were persuasive, right? But the problem was they lacked the truth. They weren't speaking the truth. They were very good at what they were saying, but it wasn't really the truth. Hold your Bible here in the book of 2 Corinthians with me and go with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, Paul, writing to the church of Rome, says something very similar at the end of his letter, right? At the end of his letter, he's giving his salutation, or he's concluding his letter. And in Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So he's writing to the church of Rome, and he's saying, hey, there are some that have gotten in, and they are teaching false doctrine. They're teaching doctrine that is not what we taught. It's contrary. It's against the things of God, right? And notice what he says in verse number 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." He says they're teaching these things. They're trying to lead people away from God because they're not concerned about Jesus Christ. They're not concerned about the things of God. All they're concerned about is themselves. All they're concerned about is themselves, right? But watch what he says. "And by good words," and what are those next two words? Come on, what are they? fair speeches. So he says, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. He said, even to this church in Rome that he was writing to, he said, hey, you've got to be very careful because there are people standing up that are preaching or teaching, but he says what's happening is that they sound really good. They're giving a good words and fair speeches. It sounds amazing, right? They're just impressive with how they do everything. I mean, it's very clear. They've been well-educated, and they're very impressive in how they're talking and what they're doing. But he says, they're not of God. In fact, he says, they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're only concerned about themselves. And so as Paul is writing now to the church of Corinth here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is addressing something very similar. These false teachers that had come in were very eloquent. They were very impressive, but they were not preaching and teaching the truth. And so meanwhile, Paul, though an apostle of Christ, was being criticized. Paul was the one, they were now criticizing Paul because he wasn't, if we could say, he wasn't flashy enough, right? He wasn't in, you know, like everybody else was, right? He wasn't saying the same things as everybody else. He wasn't as polished, we could say, as these other teachers were, right? I mean, he just wasn't quite up to their standard. And so in this passage, Paul is basically, he's going to kind of pull back the curtain and show us what true ministry looks like. What true ministry. And so Paul's going to show us some marks of true ministry, right? Because let's face it, there's a lot of ministry. And I could say this, there's a lot of religion in the world, okay? And here's what's really interesting to me is it seems more and more kind of in the day and age that we're living, religion is becoming popular. It's becoming popular. But here's the problem. Popularity doesn't equal truth. You say, well, you're upset that people are going to church and people are being religious? I'm not upset that people are going to church and being religious. What I'm upset with is that they're not hearing truth. Because men and women are standing up and they're giving good words and they're giving fair speeches, but they're not giving the truth. And this is what Paul is addressing here in this passage. This is exactly what he's talking about, okay? So look with me, notice a couple of things, because it's ministry is not about appearance, right? It's not about reputation. It's not about looks, right? It's about service. It's about sacrifice. It's about love, right? And so this is what Paul is going to do. He's going to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit on ministry and let us see exactly what it's about. So notice the first thing. True ministry is not about status. It's about service. Notice what he says in verse number 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. So Paul begins here in verse number 5, right? And he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But notice he says, but though I be rude in speech, the Corinthians were admiring eloquent speakers. They were admiring speakers who could dazzle a crowd. I mean, they were admiring people that as soon as they got up, I mean, you just hung on their every word. I mean, they were just amazing, right? I mean, it was just so awesome, right? And then as they looked at these speakers that had come in, they began to compare them to the Apostle Paul. And they began to think that these speakers that were coming in were actually more apostle-ish than the Apostle Paul. I don't even know if that's a word. Apostle-ish, is that a word? I don't even know. I just made it up, right? But that's kind of what they were like, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul, you know, even they talked about, man, his appearance just doesn't look good, right? I mean, Paul had been beaten multiple times. He had been in jail multiple times. He'd been whipped with the cat of nine tails. He'd been beaten with rods. I mean, Paul had gone through some stuff, right? And so Paul, his appearance just wasn't what we would say amazing, right? And even his speech wasn't really eloquent, you know? I mean, they talked about his letters and they said, boy, the letters that he wrote, his letters are pretty powerful. But then Paul shows up and he starts talking. We're like, is this the same person? Is this the same guy? I mean, his letters are pretty powerful, but when he comes in, you're like, that can't be the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, he doesn't talk really. I mean, listen to what these other guys are saying. I mean, these other guys, man, they're polished and they've been to the best schools and they sound good. And man, it's just amazing. And they were like, almost like these guys are more apostle-ish than the Apostle Paul is. And this is what Paul is saying when he says in verse number 5, he says, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. You guys are looking to these men and thinking they're the great apostles. You think these guys are more apostle-ish than Paul was, who was actually an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's actually kind of mocking these speakers and calling them the chiefest apostles, or maybe we could say they were these believers in Corinth were looking to them as like super apostles. You know, like these were, man, these were big stuff. I mean, look at the things that they were saying. And Paul admits he wasn't the most polished in delivery. Paul admits, he said, look, I'm not the chiefest in speech. He said, though I be rude in speech, right? The word rude there doesn't mean being unkind. The word rude means unskilled. He said, though I be rude in speech, so I'm unskilled in speech, right? He said, what truly matters though, even more so to Paul, was that he faithfully taught the truth of Christ. He said, yeah, I can tell you, though I be rude in speech, but what does he say? Yet not in knowledge. He said, I can tell you exactly what the word of God says. I can tell you what God has said. I may not have the best words and I may not be eloquent in speech and I may not do all of that, but he says, I can tell you this, I know what God says. And what God says is not what they're saying. What they're saying is opposite. It's not the truth. It's different from what God is saying. But here's what happens. And can I say that even in our day too, it's easy to confuse charisma with actually being called by God, right? I mean, somebody can stand up and they can just be, I mean, they can be flashy and they can sound good and they say all the right words and things. And it's just absolutely, they just grab everyone's attention and they just have an amazing personality and crowds are drawn to their personality. And yet when you actually listen to the message, there's no truth in it. And can I say in our age and can I say in our country today, that's what's popular. Truth is not popular. Truth is not popular. But excitement is. Charisma is, right? I mean, look at what, and again, please, I'm not trying to get on churches or anything today, but look what church has turned into today. Church has become a performance. Church is more about, it's got to be exciting. It's got to be, man, oh, that was so awesome what they did. Wait a minute. And then you ask them, well, what was the message about? Well, the worship team was awesome. No, that's not what I said. What was the message that was brought? What was the biblical principle that was being taught that you can apply to your life? Well, the drama was really cool. Wait a minute, hold on. You see, we're turning church into a performance and we've got all the right stuff to make everybody think this is really cool, but the problem is there's no truth in it. Now, please don't go out here saying, Pastor said that there's no other church that teaches truth other than First Baptist. That's not what I said. It's not what I said. But there's a lot of churches that are not teaching truth. Barely even opening the word of God. Look, I love singing. I love to sing and I love to hear our church sing. But unless we just have like a very special service that's gonna be specifically for singing, when we come to church, it's gonna be about the word of God. It's not gonna be about the music and the performances and things. And look, young people, the teenagers, they did an awesome song singing that song. from their heart. You could tell. They were enjoying seeing it, right? Well, most of them were enjoying seeing it. Yeah. But it wasn't a performance. They wanted you to hear the message of the song. God has been faithful. No matter what you go through, God's going to be faithful. But what's happening in our society today is that it's more now a performance. You see, God does not measure his servants by their stage presence, but by their faithfulness to the truth of the Word of God. A true minister may not be impressive in appearance or speech, but if he's grounded in the Word of God and sincere in heart, that's what God desires. God simply wants someone to speak the truth of the Word of God. Look, I've met many preachers who didn't go to a Bible college to learn how to preach. I've met many pastors who have never gone to any type of college, and they're pastoring, and they've been faithfully pastoring for years. They weren't necessarily taught how to develop a sermon with 3 points and all the sub-points that go along with it and the illustrations and poems. Obviously, I did not listen when I went to college class, right? But they weren't taught those things. But yet you can sit there and you can listen and you can say, boy, they've brought the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes we have this idea, the only way that we can really give the truth of the Word of God is if somehow we've been in church all of our life, or if we've been taught, you know, we've gone to some type of Christian college or a Bible college or something. Well, I don't think I can tell anybody else about Jesus. I can't do all that like the preacher does. You know, he went to college for it. And you know, those missionaries, they went to college and they learned all those things. Wait a minute, hold on. They're learning from the same book that you can learn from. It's from the Word of God. Right? Don't ever think that you've got to have a certain degree or certain letters behind your name to be able to give the truth of the Word of God. Because you can have the letters behind your name and you can look the part and you can dress the part and not give the truth of the Word of God. And that's being done in a lot of churches today. Paul admits he may not be eloquent in speech, but his knowledge of Christ was genuine. And unlike the false teachers who were boasting in style and performance, Paul's ministry was marked by sincerity and truth. In fact, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 18. This is where we find Paul in Corinth, in Acts chapter 18. And you can go back through Acts chapter 18 and read the whole passage. We're not going to take time to do all of that. But in Acts chapter 18, notice where we find Paul in verse number 1. He says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, right? So he's in Corinth. And notice in verse number 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So notice, Paul, he's come to Corinth, and what's he doing? He's sitting down and he's reasoning, he's persuading, he's taking the Word of God and showing both Jews and Greeks the truth of Jesus Christ. And of course, there's opposition. Notice verse number 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own hands. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go into the Gentiles. And he departed thence into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined heart of the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And watch what he says. Then spake the Lord to Paul by night in a vision, saying, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And notice, he continued there 1 year and 6 months, watch, teaching the word of God among them. Man, there was opposition when Paul began to teach the truth. Again, you understand, Corinth was a very idolatrous place. That there was a lot of religion in Corinth. He had just come from Athens, where Athens was very religious as well, and Corinth was very religious, but it was all idolatry. It was all idolatrous stuff. And so Paul comes in preaching the truth of the Word of God. And there were some people that started getting saved, and that started making some people mad. And so the opposition starts coming, and they start telling Paul, hey, you need to stop what you're saying. You need to stop preaching. You need to stop telling people about Jesus. And it got a little heated. Until finally Paul, the Lord comes to Paul and says, hey, don't stop. Don't stop. Look again. What does he say in verse number 9? He says, "But be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee." Hey, isn't that kind of the song that the kids just sang? Tell me a time when he's not been faithful. Tell me a time when he's not been with you. He said, "I'm going to be with you wherever you go." Don't ever stop giving the gospel. Don't ever stop telling the truth of the gospel. Man, that's what we're here to do, is to tell people the truth so that they can hear about Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. Man, we need to give the truth of the gospel. His knowledge of Christ was genuine. These other false teachers were maybe boasting in style. But Paul, his ministry was marked by sincerity of truth. You see, true ministry, an authentic ministry, is not about polished words. It's about faithfully declaring the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Not being in a prideful way, but when I am dead and gone, if anything would ever be said of me as a pastor, I pray and I hope that it would be that I faithfully declared the truth of Jesus Christ. Not that, boy, he was amazing, because I know I'm not amazing, right? Man, he was just an awesome speaker. I mean, he could just grab your attention. Look, I know I'm not that kind of preacher. I know I'm not. But I want to be faithful in teaching the truth of the Word of God. And can I say, as Christians, every one of us ought to have that desire. You say, "Well, I'm not the pastor." No, you don't have to be, because you have other people that you can share the truth with. We get more concerned about what people think about us, right? Instead of what people think about the truth. Hey, look, friend, it's not about us. It's about him. It's about Jesus Christ. And they need to know the truth, right? So again, true ministry is not about status. It's about serving. It's about giving the truth. Notice secondly, go back to 2 Corinthians with me. In 2 Corinthians, notice he says in verse number 7, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" So Paul begins to explain why he refused financial support from the Corinthians, right? Because here's the second thing we find about true ministry. It's motivated by love, not money, right? It's motivated by love, not money. Again, these Corinthians were saying, man, if Paul really thought he was giving the truth, well, he should have expected something in return, right? Because these people are saying, "Hey, we're giving you something, give us something too." And Paul said, "Wait a minute, have I committed some offense because I preached to you the gospel freely? Have I done something wrong in that I didn't, if you could say, charge you for preaching the gospel to you," right? Paul had every right to be supported in ministry. Paul deals with that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, right? He makes that very clear, that as a preacher of the gospel, he had a right to be supported in ministry, but he had given up that right here in Corinth because he didn't want the Corinthians thinking that he was preaching for profit. As he comes and he's trying to share the truth of the gospel, he's not saying, "All right, I'm going to share the truth, but now I'm expecting something in return." He said, "Look, I wanted to give you the gospel freely. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay for the gospel? Aren't you glad the gospel is free? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ said there's nothing you can do, that salvation is by grace through faith? There's nothing we can do to earn it. You can't work for it. It's free. It's free." And yet, so many times, we think it's about money, right? It's about, you know, what minute. So many times I feel I'm gonna get myself in trouble, but you look at a lot of ministries, right? You look at a lot of ministries, it's all about money. It's all about money. You know, I don't know why, you know, somebody that's in ministry, a preacher, needs 3 jets. I don't know why, right? I mean, that's pretty amazing when you have a guy on live TV trying to explain why he needs a 3rd jet. I don't see that, right? When you got pastors rolling up in, you know, Rolls Royces and limos and things like that, it's like, you know, just not sure. Could be wrong. Just not sure about that, right? Why? Because it becomes about money. And this was, again, this was one of the criticisms that Paul was getting, that he wasn't, that the Corinthian church didn't have to give him anything. Can you imagine criticizing a preacher for not taking anything? Isn't that kind of the opposite? It's like we criticize the preacher for taking something, right? They're criticizing Paul for not taking anything. He says, wait, have I done something wrong in that I didn't take anything from you? In fact, he talks about how God blessed and supported him. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Paul said, other churches were supporting me so that I could come and you didn't have to pay anything. You didn't have to do this, right? Again, he's showing it's not supposed to be about the financial aspect. And I know there's a lot of what is this called this prosperity gospel, right? That God wants everybody rich. God wants everybody healthy, right? God wants everybody to have everything. You know what's really amazing is when you look at Scripture, that doesn't quite back up with Scripture. Doesn't quite back up with Scripture. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, the Bible tells us about a man named Lazarus, not the Lazarus that died and got resurrected, but a man that, named Lazarus who was poor. He was a beggar. In fact, he begged at a man who was very wealthy at his door. He would beg at this man's door just for the scraps that would fall from the table. And God tells us that both of these two men died. The rich man and Lazarus both died. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us that Lazarus ended up in paradise and the rich man ended up in hell? Well, why? Because it's not about money, friend. You can't buy your way into heaven. Can't do it. It is a free gift of God. Well, what's happened is a lot of religion has turned it to be about money, right? Hey, you need to follow God. And if you follow God, everything's going to be great. You're going to get that promotion. You're going to get that job. Man, you're going to get that new car. You're going to get that new job. You're going to get all those wonderful things if you follow God. And what happens? People will say, hey, that's great. I'll follow God. And then they begin to realize they didn't get all those things. What happens? Now, because they've been deceived, because they weren't told the truth, now they actually turn against God. Look, it's happening all over. We would have people that would come from America to Uganda when we were missionaries, and they would hold these crusades, and they would say, hey, man, God's going to bless. You know, God's going to bless. You're going to get a visa to America, and you're going to get a Hummer, and you're going to get all these different things, right? You're going to get school fees. You're going to get all these different things. You just need to come, and you need to give. You need to give, and you need to give, and people would come, and they would give, and those people would leave with all the money, and then the people are sitting there saying, "What? Where's my Hummer? Where's my school fees? Where's my visa to America," right? They said all these things. And then we who tried to give the truth have to come back later and say, look, the gospel is not about those things. And now they're upset with religion. They're upset with God because somebody came in and deceived them and all these different things. Instead of just giving them the truth, Paul says, hey, we've got to be careful about this. We've got to make sure that we are serving the Lord for the right reason. Why are we serving? Why are we involved in the ministry? Is it just for profit? Is that what we're doing? Well, I'll serve God as long as he blesses me. But when he stops blessing me, then I'm out. Right? Then you're not serving the Lord for the right reason. Well, as long as I've got good health, I'll serve the Lord as long as he blesses and all these different things and he gives me a good job and he gives me all these different things, then I'll follow him. Friend, you're not following the Lord for the right reason then. Not at all. How about following him because he gave his life for you? How about following him because he loves you? How about following him because he is faithful and he will never leave you or forsake you? And even through the difficult times that you go through, guess what? He's going to be right there with you. You see, that's why we ought to follow and serve him, not for what we can get out of it. Friend, honestly, we've got all we deserve out of it. You say, what do you mean? If you're here this morning and you're saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't even deserve that, but you've got that, and that's all we deserve. That's all we deserve. But you know what's amazing is he does so much more than that. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. And yet, then what do? We take all the blessings that he's given to us and we're like, well, you just didn't give me enough, God. You didn't give me enough. I don't have enough. You see, we're serving him for the wrong reason. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, I don't want to be accused of serving God for the wrong reason. I want to make sure that when people see that I'm serving God and I'm giving the truth, it's because I love the Lord Jesus Christ and I want to share the gospel and I want to tell others about Jesus. In fact, even what's interesting, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 5, and Titus chapter 1 all talk about not being greedy of filthy lucre, right? Doing things just to get something in return. He said, man, we ought to serve the Lord because of what he's done for us, not what we can get out of him. That's not why we serve the Lord. Well, if I serve him, he'll give me something. You got the wrong perspective, friend. How about what can God get out of you? How about what can you do for God? What are you willing to do for God to serve him because of what he's done for you? You see, that's what true ministry is about. It's about serving. It's not about money. It's motivated by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a man named George Mueller. George Mueller was a 19th century pastor in Bristol, England. And George Mueller was just a remarkable man. During this time that he was pastoring, he refused to take a salary from his church. And not only that, but he had an orphanage. And he would refuse to try to raise money for the orphanage. Now, George Mueller, in his lifetime, took care of over 10,000 orphans. That's a lot of orphans, right? And they didn't have the system like in America and some other countries where the government kind of steps in. No, he was on his own, right? And he was able to take care of over 10,000 orphans during his ministry. You know how he did it? He prayed. He would pray. He didn't want to be known for a man that was always out asking for money and trying to get money. He just said, God, you know what we're doing here and you know our need. And so, God, I'm just going to trust you. I mean, you can read about George Mueller's life and testimony. It's absolutely amazing. One of my favorite stories that is given of George Mueller is they were going to have breakfast one morning and he got all the children. They didn't have 10,000 all at one time, by the way. Some of you are like, man, they had 10,000. No, not all at one time. Okay, that was over there, his whole ministry. But he got all the orphans together that morning and he sat them all down at the table. They were going to have breakfast and they came and they said, Mr. Mueller, we don't have any food. There's no food in the orphanage. We have no food for breakfast this morning. He said, all right, get all the kids together. We're going to pray for breakfast. They said, Mr. Mueller, we don't have any food. He said, that's all right. God knows. So they got all the kids together. They got around the table there. George Mueller began to pray. He said, God, we thank you for this food we're about to eat. And everybody's like, they're looking at the table like, there ain't no food here, mister. And you're thanking God for this food we're about to eat? There is nothing here, nothing on the table. We've already heard the helper say, there's no food. And here's Mr. Mueller thanking God for the food we're about to eat. While he's praying, there's a knock on the door. Now, again, remember, this is 19th century, okay, right? Before Ring doorbells and, you know, 19th century, there's a knock on the door. They open the door. Mr. Mueller, we have a bread truck here. The wheels have broken down and we're not going to be able to make it to our deliveries. And if we don't do something with it, it's all going to rot. Could you use this bread this morning? Why? He simply believed God. He simply trusted God. He wanted people to know that it was not about him, but it was about his God. So many times we want it to be known it's about us. No, it's not about us, friend. It's about Jesus Christ. And just like Mueller, his ministry showed that true service is not about what we can get from people, but what we can give for Christ's sake. I want you to notice the third thing here. Notice in verse number 10 and 11. He says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not, God knoweth. He says, look, here's what he says. Because of what God has done, he says, no one is going to be able to stop me from boasting about what God has done. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to give the truth everywhere I go. And he says, why? And this is what he says, because I love you. He says, I love you. He says, I love you so much that I'm going to give the truth no matter where I go. It doesn't matter if it's in Corinth. It doesn't matter if it's in Athens. It doesn't matter if it's in Achaia. He says, wherever I go, I'm going to give the truth because I love people and I want them to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul says, this is the most important thing. And he reveals his heart here. At the core of Paul's ministry was his love. But can I tell you something? Before we can love people the way we need to love them, we have to have a love of Christ first. If we love Christ the way we're supposed to love Christ, we will love people and want to give them the truth. But if our love for Christ isn't right, it's gonna be very hard to love people. It's gonna be very hard. You know, if your love for Christ isn't right, you know that coworker that you work with that always just gets under your nerves? It's gonna be really hard to love them the way Christ says to love them if we don't love Christ first. You know that neighbor that always just seems to do something in the neighborhood that everybody just gets annoyed with and you're just like, boy, I wish they would move. You understand? Maybe the reason why God has put them there is so that they could see the love of Christ in you and see that there's something different about your life. But see, if we don't love Christ the way we're supposed to love Christ first, it's gonna be very hard to love anyone else. That's why he tells us that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And Paul says, hey, the reason why I'm willing to go through these beatings, the reason why I'm willing to go through this imprisonment and all these different things, and even for people to be criticizing me, he says, I'm willing to go through it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want him to be made known wherever I go. I want people to know about Jesus Christ. It's not about Paul. It's not about Paul, he's saying. It's about Jesus. And I love you and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm gonna make sure that I tell people wherever I go about Jesus Christ. You understand, friend? It's not about recognition. It's not about money. It's not about what we're getting out of it. We are to love the one who gave himself for us, who gave his life a ransom for us. The true measure of ministry is not about eloquence. It's not about money. It's not about recognition. It's about loving Jesus Christ. And if our love for Christ is absent, then our love for everything else will be gone as well. So whatever ministry God has called you to, it could be teaching a Sunday school class or a master club class or a super church class. It could be encouraging a neighbor. It could be serving behind the scenes. It could be that person that you're working with at work. It could be a family member. Wherever God has called us to serve, we need to do it in the love of Jesus Christ. We need to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the world, and sometimes even the church, will be drawn to charisma and wealth and success. But God honors those like Paul who simply serve humbly. They give sacrificially. They love sincerely. They want people to know about Jesus Christ. They have a desire for people to know him. And as you serve in your home, in your workplace, in your church, or in your community, ask yourself this question. Am I doing this for recognition? Am I doing this to get something out of it? Or am I doing it out of the love of Jesus Christ? Am I doing it so the people see me? Because if you're doing it for people to see you, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But are we doing it because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us? Because true ministry is going to reflect the heart of Jesus. It reflects Jesus Christ. It points people to him, not to us. And when we love as he loved, people see not us, but they see him. And that should be our desire, to point people to Jesus Christ. No matter where we are, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, whether it's at work, in our home, in the church, in the community, wherever it is, we gotta point people to Jesus Christ. That's what it is to serve the Lord. It's not about being a pastor. It's not about being a preacher. No, it's just about wherever God has placed you, having a love for him to tell others about Jesus so they can know him as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us, every one of us as Christians, Lord, to have a desire to truly follow you, to love you with all of our heart. And Lord, maybe today there's someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray you'd help them to realize there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Christians this morning that they would have a desire as well to want to serve you, not out of, to see what we can get out of it, Lord, but simply because of who you are. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about, I know there are some folks that need to get ready for baptism, and if you need to go ahead and make your way, you can do that right now quietly. But I just want to ask a couple questions this morning. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Friend, we would love to take the Word of God and show you the truth. We're not going to show you our opinion. We want to show you truth from God's Word. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back? Nobody else is looking around. My prayer can't save you, but I do want to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Pastor, would you pray for me? Friend, I hope you understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is only one way for a person to be saved. And it's not by being a church member. It's not by being baptized. It's not by being a good person. It is only through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's it. There's no other way. That's the truth of the gospel. I know other churches, other religions will say things different, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to sit down and talk with you more about how you can know Jesus. Even after the service is over, I'll be in the lobby and we can make an appointment. You can come by and say, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you more about this. And we'll meet up for coffee sometime the week, or we'll meet up somehow and sit down and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. But Christian, what about you? Why are you serving? Or maybe the question ought to be, are you serving the Lord? How are you serving the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not just about showing up for church on Sundays and Wednesdays or anything like that. No. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to tell others about Him. He wants us to be the light of the truth so that people can know Him. Where God has placed you, in your home or in your workplace or in the community or in your neighborhood, are you being the light of the truth of Jesus Christ there? Or are we just being quiet and letting people just pass by and we don't even talk? We don't even talk to them. We don't tell them about Jesus and what He's done for us. No, He wants us to serve. He wants us to be involved. And we can do that anywhere He's placed us. Father, I pray you'd help us, each one of us, Lord, to be obedient to you, to desire to serve you. Lord, not for what we can get out of it, but because of what you have done for us. May we be a better witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. And a friend, if God has spoken to your heart about something this morning, you're welcome to come to the altar and pray. You're welcome to sit right where you're at in your seat and pray. But whatever God has spoken to your heart about, would you be obedient to Him this morning? And friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love to take the Bible, God's Word, show you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. We love to show you from God's Word how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven. Know for sure that you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Christian, where God has placed you, where He's placed you in your family, in your community, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, Are we telling others about Jesus? Or is it simply about us, what we're going to get out of it? Well, I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. I don't want people to think I'm strange. Wait a minute, is it about you? Or is it about Jesus? Who's going to tell them if you and I don't?